Living for the New. And this is a study of Revelation chapter 21, which is this amazing image of where we're headed. And this beautiful description of the new heaven and the new earth and where our eternity will be. And then right in the middle of it comes this picture and contrast of if we do not follow the new, the destination of the old. So today's part of this series, Living for the New, is entitled The Destination of the Old. And I wanted to start with the question, are you living for the new? We know this, when we're born again, God gives us a new heart, a new life. And the goal that he has for us is that we live for the new and that we die to the what? The old. Do we have a thirst for the new? Do we truly understand the destination of the new? And do we understand the destination of that old fallen nature that all of us in here were born with? And if we've been born again, we're going to have to contend with it until we meet Jesus. But it doesn't have greater authority than him. Revelation chapter 21, we're going to move now to verse 6, and let's read through these scriptures. After this beautiful description of the new heaven and the new earth and what awaits us, we pick up in verse 6 here. He said to me, "It is done." Completion. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And then as we focused on this a number of weeks ago, to the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life, the living water that is ours now, but that will be ours for all eternity. Verse 7. Those who are, say that word with me, I love that word, victorious will inherit all this. And I will be their God, and they will be my children. To the victorious, to those that endured the race, that complete the race, to those that entered into the battle of the old and the new and prevail. The victory is ours if we want the victory. But then we move now to this other contrast. Verse 8 of Revelation 21. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Thank God that he points to us clear understanding of what the old is. Because if we don't understand what the old is, we'll dress it up and allow it to have a home within us, not knowing the consequences of allowing sin to continue in our lives and in our actions. But here we see there is a destination, an eternal destination for those that reject the new and embrace the old. And it's labeled very clear. It's a real place. It is a lake of fire that God calls the eternal death, the second death. We are eternal beings that will forever be. But we will either be in the dwelling of the new or the dwelling of the old. The eternal dwelling of the old is the lake of fire. God describes that lake of fire again as the second death, the death that we do not want, but God allows us a choice. We don't get a choice about the death here on this earth. We don't. It can come at any time. We don't have that choice. But with the second death, we do have a choice. It is a real fate. It is a real place. Unless we release the old, our fate will be the lake of fire. But by God's grace and by God's mercy, Jesus came to change our destination. Where were we headed without Jesus? To the second death. Without Jesus, we would not have hope to overcome the old, but he has clearly given us the liberty and that power of grace so that the old does not hold us any longer. We will contend, but we will be victorious by his strength. Now let's look and see who will populate the lake of fire. God doesn't hide that from us. He makes it very clear. Do you believe the Bible?
Yes.
Do you? Then why just focus in on the easy stuff? Right? Why do we get so enamored with just the easy stuff when this is just as much of the word? And unless we understand this, we can't fully understand the easier information. Because if we just focus in on what the new heaven and the new earth is without looking at where the old is destined, then we may be overcome by these clear expressions of the old. The first one I want to look at is this: but the cowardly. And let's step to the latter part of verse 8. They will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Now, I don't know about you. That is kind of, it's very frightening. Because how many times have we been cowardly? And not all of us are as tough as others, right? I don't think Tracy Ely has a scared bone in her body. Over the years, I've witnessed her being able to go into situations, and she's not fretful. That's not her nature. But with me, I'm like checking things out. But we are not talking about those that are more sensitive to bad things happening. But we are talking about this word that says cowardly. So the old nature is cowardly. That is the action of the old. But let's contrast it. The new nature is this, is faithful. It's faithful. The faithful are not void of fear. They are victorious over fear. And a simple way of putting that is that fear does not stop their faith. Those that will be in the lake of fire are those that are cowardly of faith, where when circumstances arise, they give up their faithfulness. They surrender because of the pressures that are around them. Let me give you a contemporary example of this. I was stunned the other day to read an article, and there's a documentary I think you can watch on YouTube about this, but one of the most amazing revivals happening in our country, or excuse me, in our world today, is in a place that you would never expect. It is moving like, the way they described it, it is the fastest growing revival in the world. And it's in Iran. It's in Iran. And it is greatly impacting the women of Iran. And here's the thing. It's not buildings that are set across the landscape. It's not signs. It's not mailings. No. It is underground, and it is growing at tremendous levels. For these ladies are some of the most oppressed people in the world. And they have seen what Islam has brought to their families and to their hearts and to their condition. And now that they have tasted it, they still seek truth, and they have looked to Jesus, and they have found truth. But here's the thing. In Iran, if they're found out to have faith, there's a process that happens. They're raped, they're beaten, and then they're killed. So you would automatically say, if something like that can occur, then how in the world is that movement, the church, growing in Iran? Because persecution brings out the faithful. And though they battle with fear, fear does not overcome their faith. Therefore, they are not embracing the old. They are not cowardly. They are what? Faithful. Now, we sit here in America, and there was a time in America when you wore a Christian t-shirt, people kind of thought, hey, that's really great. Or if you had a cross on, or if you proclaimed or lived as a Christian, people looked up to you for that. But there's a shifting now to hide your faith. But there is a trend that is coming where persecution can befall us in ways that we never dreamed possible. Will we be faithful? And let me throw this out real quick. The mark of the beast has been something that people have tried to figure out many, many times. But we know this. You'll have to have it to buy, sell, or trade. But if you receive it, you accept the old and you damn yourself to what? Hell, the second death, the lake of fire. Hell's not eternal. The lake of fire is. So a thought hit me the other day. How do people purchase things in a growing fashion today? What is one of the portals of purchasing today? Online. And we go online with our what? Our smartphones. If a leader came and said, you have to buy everything with your smartphone. You can't work unless you have a smartphone. And then we learn that to have that smartphone, we have to pledge allegiance to this world leader. Would we give up our cell phone? I'll be honest with you. We are fused to our smartphones. And there's technology that's coming to fuse it further than just the extension of our body, but even implants. Would we let go of these things that we trust in so that we do not deny the faith? Just think about that for a minute. The fearful, the cowardly, surrender faith when pressure comes. And here's the thing that I contend with in my heart. When my old nature rises up and says, you better not do that. Am I faithful enough to say no to that sinful nature and to press on and grow in faith in God? Or am I cowardly to the cravings of my old nature? That's what the cowardly is. The new is the faithful. The faithful are not void of fear again. They are victorious over fear. Fear does not stop their faith. So let's move to this next one here. Verse 8 again. Those that will populate the lake of fire, those that will miss the eternal life that Christ came to give us freely, are the unbelieving. The unbelieving. What is their fate? The unbelieving is this. They will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. You get that? The unbelieving will not inherit the new heavens and the new earth. The old is this, the unbelieving. The unbelieving is an action, or unbelief is actions of the old. The new is this, the true believer. The actions of the new the true believer. People say, well, it's real easy to believe in Jesus, right? You just say it, and you what? You believe it. Sounds simple enough, doesn't it? Ryan, that sounds simple enough, doesn't it? Just say it and believe it. We got all kinds of beliefs in the house today, right? We do. I'm not talking about faith. I'm talking we have many, many different beliefs. But if it's that simple, why is the old so prominent? Is that not fair to ask? So I want to understand what Scripture means when it says, if I'm unbelieving, I will end up in the lake of fire. So let's look and see what Scripture really says. You've heard the Scripture all of your life. Romans 10, verse 9 says this. Now look closely. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe, does it stop there? And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now we've taken the Scripture and we've molded it down into phrases that are simple to repeat. And we've told people, you recite this and you're saved. You are now a what? A believer. It's a very dangerous approach, because just because you say something doesn't mean it lives in your heart, does it? But let's go further. Let me start back at 9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Absolute. For it is with your heart that you what? Believe and are justified. Let me say that again. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. Not just words, not just mental realities that we accept. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are, say it with me, saved. Declared with your mouth, that's not enough. You have to believe in your heart. If you don't see fruit of Christ's likeness in a heart, then something else has that heart. And sometimes what that something else is religious things that are taught in the gatherings in the name of Jesus. I call it the spirit of religion. That they take parts of Scripture and bring it into a nice, comfortable reality that the old can accept, and they call it belief. When all along, all it is a contemporized manner of the Pharisees' belief. And not even with all of the rules attached. It's just, make it easy for me, Pastor. Make it easy for me. Jesus has already made it easy for us. Confess with your mouth and believe with your heart. Believe with your heart. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are, say it with me, saved. Belief is not validated by words alone. Belief that is seated in the heart lives out by the actions of one's life. Is it hard being a Christian? When it's the new that leads us, it is a supernatural flow. Because just like those ladies in Iran are standing up, counting the cost, serving God, telling others about their hope in Jesus Christ, in the face of all this horror, they press on and they tell because it lives in their heart. And it's the new heart that Christ has given them. Now, I'm going to ask Delphine. Delphine, will you come just stand here for a minute? You willing to help me out this morning? Okay, turn around, face everybody. I'm going to ask you just to trust me for a minute, all right? All right? Okay, so are you comfortable enough to just why I move over here. I'm not going to hurt you or anything. Okay. But would you just shut your eyes and put your hands up like this? Yeah. Okay, but don't open your eyes, all right? Okay. Just stay like that for a minute. Shut until I ask you to open them. Now you can open your eyes. Now what's the chances of this Carolina Gamecock fan buying that and wearing that? Let me ask you, Delphine, would you wear that?
I'm be honest.
What, don't mess up my illustration.
Well, I mean, I say 1%.
She said 1%. Right. If you notice, this shirt is, what does it say on the front of it, y'all? It says something else. Tigers, y'all. And I'll be honest with you. I grew up in this state, and if I was ever to put something like that on, it would. I think I'd be ill. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be ugly, but it runs deep. And I thought it ran deeper in you. I thought that, yeah.
One didn't lose last night.
Yeah, they almost, one point. Well, Delphine, without a doubt, this one goes more with your beliefs, right? Yes, hold that one up. Hold that one up. Now that fits her, because that's what she believes in.
Yep.
And this one here, I kept thinking, you know, all my life I've had the orange put in my face. And my sister over here, Billy, she would, you know, I think when we first met shortly after, they won the national championship.
Yeah.
And I was so happy that it took them so much longer. But Billy, I know you will wear that one with no problem. Let's give Delphine a hand. Belief that is seated in the heart is lived out by the actions of one's life. There are fans here, hopefully today, that would never wear, a Carolina fan would never wear that shirt. Delphina, I'm going to have to talk to you later about that. A line is drawn because this is my team. This is who I believe in this team, and I'm not going to wear that other color. And same way with you, Billy. You would wear a Carolina shirt. Yeah, that's right. I won't repeat that. That's right. True belief. And Austin will talk to me about this sometimes, is when he doesn't want to be a fair weather fan. So when, like, the Panthers were doing good in around the area, you start seeing the flags. And when they're doing bad, you don't see anything Panther-wise. And so again, belief is more than just words or mental acknowledgement. It runs deep to the heart. True belief has credibility. You ever wondered why is the church so much like the world? And we're human, we're going to mess up. But why would the standard of the world be so comfortably embraced in the church? And there's a reason for that. It's because the old is tolerated and allowed, where the new is forsaken because the old has such an attachment and a following. And in fact, belief has not gone truly beyond the mind to live in the heart. So we see this, unbelief is pronounced by actions or inactions. I can say I'm a believer, but does my life line up to that? And I believe that is what the scripture is talking about. The unbeliever is not the one that will say, I don't believe in Jesus. No, it's the one that will live as they don't believe. Nothing's different. Nothing is really different other than the association of where I walk and who I hang out with and what I say. But when it comes to actions, it is really difficult to see true belief. Now let's move to the next. This is another one here. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, and let's look at that. The vile. Where will the vile be heading? They will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Now, when I even read that, does it stir us at all? This is a real fiery lake. This is an eternal death known as the second death. It is the destination of the old. But let's look again. The old is the vile. The new is this, the pleasing. Our actions truly matter to God's heart. If it is vile to him, it should be what? Vile to us. For the new nature seeks to honor God and seeks to please God. The new desires to honor God and to love God. I'm going to ask you a quick question. If you haven't downloaded YouVersion to get Bible verses each day, the verse of the day, I encourage you to do that. It's a powerful Bible app that allows you great ability to study and to grow in the Word of God. But this is one of the scriptures, I think it was Wednesday, and it says this, is 2 John chapter 1, verse 6. I don't have it on the slide, but it says this. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. So if I love God, his commands matter. The vile things to him will be vile to me. How do I love God? One of the powerful examples, if I have belief in my heart that my obedience will follow after his commands. And let me begin again. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. And again, we can love each other the way God's intended if we love God. And if we love God by being obedient to his commands. He's not there to hurt us in any way. The new understands, I want to please God. The vile is fine to be highly offensive. The things that we feel comfortable with, it doesn't matter what Scripture says, I'm going to embrace it. Doesn't matter. It's not vile to me. Why is it not vile to me? Because I'm focused on the old. The new will be offended by the vile. We see this, another way of describing vile is an abomination. Actions that God detests. The old will tolerate, the new will not tolerate. Highly offensive actions to who? Highly offensive actions to God. Because I'll tell you this right up. I, from my old nature, can find peace with the most vile things. But the new nature will not contend, will not allow. So if I look at Scripture and I read this as being a problem for God and it's not a problem for me, I need to ask myself a question, because the last thing that I want to do, and I think this is fair to say, is to think I'm living for the new and end up dying and finding out that I was just living in an old that I was calling new. This is real, church. This is real. We don't know when our time will come. We just have a season here, and our days are numbered by God, not by ourselves. And I want to know the new. See, God is our only judge. His standard is what matters above everything else. Doesn't matter how we get our minds around something and work out a justification for it doesn't matter. His standard is what matters, not our times and our culture. If that's what leads us is the times that we live in, Lord, help us. And culture changes. God never changes. God's standards are eternal. James 4:12 tells us this. And thank you, Lord. Because we all like playing judge, right? There's only one lawgiver and judge. The one who is able to save, and what's that other word? And destroy. But you who are you to judge your neighbor? There is only one, what?
Judge,
only one lawgiver, and his name is God. Our heart must not be our guide. God's heart must determine our steps and our choices. And he is so faithful to do that. That is why it's so critical that the voices that speak into our lives are so much greater than just what's coming out of this world. That is why it's so critical the Word of God is speaking into our heart so we can have his perspective. Do you read the Bible? It's not an issue of a religious duty. It's an issue of the new coming in and giving us God's perspective. Because the old has a destination that I want no part in. The new will not embrace the vile. And then we're going to move to this last one today. And then we'll pick back up next week on the others. Because I want to take some time through this list. I don't want to breeze by it. I want to understand what the old is. Because the old will masquerade as if it's okay. As if it is good. As if it is what? New, when it's pseudo, it's false, it's a counterfeit. So the last one, we'd say, well, this one, no problem for me, right? Look at this next one. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, where's their destiny? They will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This isn't a fairy tale. This isn't just some kind of little story. This is truth. Murderers, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. This is the destination of the old. People say, well, I'm fine. I ain't killed anybody yet. This would be a real easy one. I don't even own a gun. It's more to it than just those that physically murder. The old is the murderers. The new is this, the defenders of life. Thank God for defenders of life. Thank God for people that are willing to get out of themselves to defend life. The murderous heart does not value life or the giver of life. People kill with guns. People kill with knives. Some people kill with their bare hands. But some of the most devastating, murderous acts are done with words. The Bible tells us very clearly there's the power of life and death in our words. And if we have chosen a rhythm in our life that uses our words as verbal bombs, as daggers, as detriment, as discouragement, then we are operating under a murderous spirit. See, when God looks at you, he sees his child and one that he wants loved, nurtured, and encouraged. So when I use this voice, when I use this body to speak death to someone, that is a murderous spirit leading that. And I'll be honest with you, Satan likes it when people are murdered point blank, but I think he gets more pleasure from torture. He's a torturer. And he will use words to torture hearts and murder life and glee in it the whole way. The murderous heart does not value life or the giver of life. The murderous spirit, what is it? Self is exalted above the life of others. But the new is a defender of life. It is cautious with its words so that it doesn't hinder the experience of this life on earth. It looks and it sees that Drayson is created in the image of God. And when you mess with Drayson, you're messing with God.
Amen.
He sees clearly when we become the judge, when we become the one that fires off our words to destroy rather than to nurture and to give life. He sees what is happening to the creation that he made, and he has a destination for those that will continue with a murderous spirit, and that is the lake of fire, the second death, the eternity expelled from God. The destination of the old is not where I want to go. We join the fate of what we embrace. There are grave consequences for choosing to live for the old, and may we never forget it. Not a fearful thing. Now, please understand what I'm saying. God is saying, I'm making you wise to what the old is. And I'm showing you this beautiful example in chapter 21, a revelation of what I've made for you, where I've destined you to be. As we stated earlier, we're not going to be floating around on clouds. We're going to be given a new body, a physical body that's going to be in the perfection of what God fully intended at the very beginning, but sin came and destroyed, but didn't win the war. Because God is completing the process. But may we, on our journey on this earth, never lose sight of the beauty of the new that Jesus came to give us. And that beautiful example is so clearly seen. God makes clear again the cost of rejecting the new. And this beautiful reality is eternal life versus the second death. The old versus the new. Which fate are we joined to? And I'm going to end it with this. Are you living for the new? When you awake in the morning, do you envision this life as a race, as a battle? And do you see yourself as victorious? When you awake in the morning, do you identify that there is an old that wants to overcome you? But you wake up with hope, knowing that God has empowered the new heart to be nurtured and bettered every day, increased every day. And it's not a task that God has asked us to do on our own. He has come to empower us. If we can bow for a moment in prayer this morning. And I'm going to ask, if you're able today, if we could just stand to our feet. And just welcome God's liberty here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, as the old is so increasing in this world, and so justified and so honored, may you increase our hope and our thirst for the new so that we can see the old for what it is and not be enamored by it. Not that we would not develop an appetite for the old and increase, but we would grow in thirst and hunger for the new in the name of Jesus.